And, as a prelude to a summit meeting, the president barbecued the continent's envoys. General de Gaulle lost most of his majority in the election.
We picked corn out. How much did your mom put away, Danny? Oh, Danny Dunbar, this is Guy Miles and Faye.
Hi, Danny.
And that's Sergeant.
And this is Sarge.
Yeah, we've been...
Where we raised him?
Over at Reddick. How many of these we give away like this? We give away so many of these, and we just got a little garden about.
Well,
he's already, as long as he's got his boosters, then he's all right.
This would be third last week, I guess.
Yeah.
And he gets one 2 weeks, and then when he's 3 months old, he gets it.
Well, what happened to yours?
She died.
Well, I mean,
see, when Sally brought the white dog over, my puppy was on that white one Sally had. It was just filled with it. He had his fever then. Well, I didn't even know he had it. And I let my dog play with my puppies play with it. And then when I went into town, she told me just as they were ready to leave, she says, my dog had it. I almost fainted. Mine had only had one goose. And I said, oh, my word. And I rushed into town. And the vet wouldn't even give him another shot. Dr. Dudley wouldn't even give her another shot.
Oh, really?
And he said, wait, 2 weeks till her mama's, I said, well, she's been weaned since she's 4 weeks old. He says, oh, well, just don't worry about it. And I just went over and took her to Sanders,
Yeah, the other night she was.
And gave her a shot. Well, he told me that if she passed 30 days, she had a 50-50 chance.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if she made it past 60, she'd live. And she missed 60 days by 2 days.
Well, this is what, this is what the doctor said, that it was so contagious. That and how these country dogs live, we just don't know.
And I put all three of mine down.
Oh.
My little red one, I had two
mm-hmm.
little yellow puppies
mm-hmm.
that somebody threw out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those had to be put down, and Kimmy. Well, Kimmy, her brain, you could talk to her, and she just sit there. She didn't even know what you're rocking
it's
at the mouth.
It's just terrible. It really
I thought I was going to die Tuesday, but I lived through it. I got another one, so.
Well, this one is really rambunctious now. We'll just put you on. Can they go
well,
back
he's
and get some, a
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Put
well, he's all right now since he's got three or four just, temporary. You see, Kimmy had only had her one temporary, And he said that he said she didn't have a chance, really. I mean, he was honest with me, Dr. Sanders. He didn't try and color it up any. I can't get over that one. So cute. But, Sally contaminated about, I don't know, how many puppies with that dog? And she knew he had it. I told her she better come get her horse and hurry up. But she was so mad. I paid $35 for it.
Hmm.
That was my dream dog. Oh, it made me so sick. I couldn't do it. I had to have Vernon take him into town.
Now, this dog's all right.
Yeah, Mikey's all right. See, they're old. The old dogs, it don't bother them. He said, the
fleas?
Puppies. No, Mikey's got on his flea collar.
Is that a flea collar?
Yeah.
See, that's,
oh, it is.
That's what we've got. That really
Mikey,
does it, doesn't it, Sue?
That's the best collar you can be. The only thing that one doesn't kill are those little bitty stick types, but they don't get off on anything, They're those that just burrow
come
to
here,
them.
Come here, Mikey. Let's see what you got.
See, I paid $2 for
Dr.
Sanders, and it kept all those roving ones off. He gets these. Go down. See these little ones here? And the only way you can get them off is with tweezers. And he's that's the only some sort of odor in it that gets on their hair.
Yeah.
And the fleas come to it.
Oh.
And then it kills them.
It's
oh, silly
to ask Sue if her dog has anything, as careful as she is.
Oh, I was so sick. I'm not kidding you. I've just recovered. I was so white. The first time I thought she had rabies. She started frocking at the mouth.
I know.
And I'd just been to see this movie about rabies, And she'd already bit me and broke the skin and everything, this is how a puppy teeth
uh-huh.
do.
Uh-huh.
And I just knew I had rabies. And I said, oh, I'm going to die, Ann. She said, no, you're not, I said, my poor puppy's got rabies. And she watched her and she said, no, she thought it was something else. She thought she'd just gotten a toad frog, because that'll make them, if your puppy, gets this white saliva, not white, but I mean clear, it's probably a toad frog or cockroach, unless, they have been exposed to this symptom. But Mikey, he loves baby puppies.
Mm-hmm.
He just thinks they're the greatest thing.
Sue, tell me, what have you been doing now? Have you been riding those Cerberi?
Thank you, best time for us to come watch.
See? Had another accident.
Golly, what happened then?
Well, one of them got loose. This dumb girl, I tell you, I know she's trying to kill me. She just has to be. She was walking this renegade down to the thing. I said, let me take the horse. No, I'll take him. She had to prove it to me, you know. So she got all the way to the gate. And when I got a horse that'll run with me, I open the gate like this, see, and then undo his halter. And then I'll step in with him, so if he does bolt, he ain't got the shank on him.
Uh-huh.
She's real smart. See, that's how much smart she's got. She undoes the shank like this. She goes, I guess she expected him to stand there. And then opens the gate. And the horse boogered when she rattled the chain. And he reared up and tried to knock her in the head and ran off. Got down into the fence we have on the racetrack. It goes like this. Got down there and got stuck. And other horses were biting him over the fence. I was running him off, and I got him by the halter and started to pull him out, and he reared up and fell down and got my arm between him and the fence. This was recovered. It didn't have any hide there. Got my arm all messed up. I come around and I said, sometimes you can pull the stupidest blank stunts I ever did in my life.
Sue, Faye told me what you said about getting on the horse and giving them the opposite signal.
Tell a guy about that.
Now, this is crazy.
That happened in Miami.
You get on a thoroughbred horse.
That happened in Miami.
What?
The first time you got on a thoroughbred.
Yeah, first time I ever got on one, I got up there and I said, my word, boy, this is fun. I'll get him, I'll say, whoa, see? Whoa, horse! And the more I pulled back, the faster the horse ran. I said, whoa, horse! And I was just pulling. I had that horse's head up in the air, just pulling him. This was hard. And when I finally got him around the track and got him stopped, he just ran till he was too tired to go any further. That's what happened. And I came over and I said, what did I do wrong? He says, you pulled back on him. I said, well, my word, how do you stop him? He said, drop the reins. Well, see, when you race them, you want them into the bit, see? You want them pulling all that bit as hard as they can. So what you do when you're galloping them, you give them a long rein. So like this is your rein here. You got him up like this. You want to gallop him, you put your hands down and just gallop him like this. It's real loose. But when you want him to run, you got a crop here. So when you want him to run, you just reach up and take a hold of him like this and sit down on him. See, and that's the jockey's pulling against him. You know, that's the reason the jockey goes up like that.
Yeah.
And then the slower, if the horse starts slowing up, you just reach up and take another hold of him and pow, you get down on him again.
And you
want him to stop, you just drop it. And just let him have your head, then they don't know what to do.
And you didn't know that?
No, I didn't
know
that.
After all these horses you've been in, you didn't know that?
I thought, well, whenever I want a horse to stop, I just pull back on the rein.
He didn't
even tell me how to stop him, my word. He just put me up there and said, ride him.
I never heard of it. I
was panic stricken. I didn't know what to do. The more I took up the rein, the faster he ran. And when I got back, my little red skull cap was hanging down over my face. I was hanging into it with my teeth. I had my teeth in the chin strap to hold it on. It was falling down. I'd shove it up and I'd grab some more reins. I was special.
The last time we were out there, it was at your pony barn, your cold barn.
Yep. They got them babies.
Well, they were beauties.
Yeah, I'm starting to blister them now. Get them ready to be broke in August.
Yeah.
And all my children are so nice. Mr. Yates was blistering them yesterday. He's shaving their legs. You shave their legs up, and then you put a second-degree burn on their legs.
Uh-huh.
And it makes them blow up, and then it pulls the tendons in there. So, you know, a horse doesn't have any muscles from here down in the forelegs.
Uh-huh.
It's got tendons.
Uh-huh.
And so while they're when they're little like that, they bump themselves, and it pulls the tendon away from the bone.
Mm-hmm.
So when you blister them, it just like you burn your hand real bad, and it contracts it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. It just pulls the tendons. See, and they can't damage any nerve or anything, because it's just tendons. So you can't. So I mean, they pull from their forearm up here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you just blister them from there down to get rid of any wraps or splints or things like that. A splint's when I don't think these have got them, but a splint is when they hit the bone on the tendon, and it forms a air bubble between the tendon and the bone, and eventually it gets so big the horse can't walk. Cripples them. That's what's wrong with thoroughbred. They're weak. Some of them got knees that are so open you can put your fingers in the joint, your knee, instead of being close together like a regular horse, if it's way open. And so we got them all blistering. He came in, he said, put a twitch on this horse, buddy. He said, I'll get the clippers and we'll make them behave. I said, don't hurt my horses. He says, oh, you have to twitch them. Put the chain in their mouth. Oh, my word. I said, you put it over your nose. Won't you be mean to my horse? He put it over his nose, and that horse stood there. Didn't have to put a twitch on him or anything. Shaved his legs all around.
It's like scare
cows. And put a blister on him.
Yeah.
And those things burn. So they take a brush and rub it to make the skin off, and then they put it on. It burns when they stop putting it on. And my horse, he'd pick his feet up like this, but he just stood right there. Mm-hmm. Didn't offer to hurt him at all. Mr. Yates says, my word, these are the best yearlings I ever blistered. He looked at me. He says, oh, no, he says, these are my best yearlings, the best ones I've ever blistered. I said, your yearlings? My horses. He says, don't you hurt them either. And one of them kicked me about 2 weeks ago, about broke my leg. About from here to here.
Well, no, they're bad. They're not bad about kicking, are they?
Kick your head in?
They'll kick each other.
What? They'll kick you. They don't worry so much about each other. They don't like
people.
Does
their brand do it more than any of
Our
horses don't. Your horses don't kick.
Well, the thoroughbred's blood is so hot. And the only reason they talk about hot bloods and cold bloods, the thoroughbred's blood count or something, I don't know whether it's the red blood count or some sort of blood count, is 14 point something higher than another horse's. So they're real nervous. And their body temperature is even more than another, and then the regular horse. And so they stay real high strung all the time. And they get to where, I mean, you can just put one in a stall, guy, and leave it up all day, and by the time you take him out, he's cuckoo. They just run around those stalls, just run around. And they're just 12 by 12, and you know they can't get too much done in there. But they will run those stalls, and then when you start bringing them out, they just walk on hind feet. And we got to walk them from here to where those horses are, if not further, to put them out in the field. And boy, after you get about three of them,
yeah, they really.
Whoa, horse come down from there. But as much as I've handled them, they're still that way when you take them out. I love them to death. I wouldn't give them. I mean, I wouldn't want to have any of them. But I think they're a beautiful horse. I like to see them work. But I've learned so much about horses from these horses that it's pathetic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've always looked for a horse, you know, that uses its hocks. Roll back like this and go up. Thoroughbred, you don't want that. You want him to take his back end. His front end goes like this, and his back end is supposed to come straight around like that and grab over. The front end goes like this, and the back end goes. And they're just tucked right under them. They don't use their hocks or anything. You know, a thoroughbred can jump. His stride, a good thoroughbred, Candy Spots, remember Candy Spots, had a 27-foot stride from where his back feet hit the ground to his first front foot.
No.
And they average between 18 and 20 feet in a stride. That's how they're supposed to do it.
Did you realize that before you started working with them?
No, man. Oh, my word. I said, my God.
And now you're riding
I said, that's
like
from way over here over Chimney Christmas.
And now you're on one.
Yeah. But I can feel it. I mean, when they're galloping along, they have about a 10-foot stride. I mean, they just stretch out like this and off on their hocks. But they just take that back in. They don't run. They don't gallop like a regular horse.
That's why when you see them racing, coming around the racing,
they look like that. And see, the front legs just hit pong like this. The horse has 210 pounds of pressure on the front end with every stride. So he hits that ground, pound, 227 pounds on the ankle. So he hits the ground. And your regular horse has something like 14 pounds. See, almost their whole body weight is on their ankles when they hit that ground. The whole front end body weight from their head to their shoulder, to their knee, that part right there, just sort of like a little U. And 210 pounds, and the further their stride is, the more poundage is on their front end. It's a different thing. It is, and it's so fast. Everything. These horses will be walking along, boom, they're gone another direction. And you're hanging over, laying over your back. This next to my girlfriend, he's got Angus, and he's been breeding in Brahma. Oh, my goodness. He's got some beautiful cows. He's got all his bulls cut, though. Make him feed him or something. I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, he's going to go to the market this year.
Still, I like those Brahma. I'd love to have some.
He's got, you should see his bull guy. I just in love with that bull. Big old, It just stands there. He comes to think and sees it.
Those Brahma bulls are just beautiful.
He just stands
just handsome.
He's like, he's about as thick as that bull there, except he's got legs about this long.
Yeah.
And he stands there, and he's so pretty in the field.
Yeah.
He just looks
faces.
Around, and all the cows are Angus that are in the field with him. And he's got, well, what he calls Brangus. The half-breeds already are over in another field. And you can see the Brahmin nose.
Sure.
Here's this big old black thing and this big chin coming down, a big lump on their neck, big ears.
I and like those.
He said that he liked them because disease couldn't kill them as easily. He said they hold up. He said they don't get worms in them as bad and all this stuff. And he's glad he did. He invested a lot of money in this bull. And he said that he bred this bunch that he had in the one field was first crop, I think. And they were good size. I mean, they were big like this. And they were... I think they're about 3 or 4 months old. They were beautiful. I just love them.
So you're just where you ought to be, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm down that farm. You have
yeah.
an adventure.
I have more
place.
Fun. Oh, my word, I just
yeah.
love it. Those
you get it day and night.
Well, all the time.
I bet you don't have any ulcers anymore.
No, I'm so surprised, and I've lost so much weight. Look at these pants.
Jockey,
I'm 127 yeah. pounds.
Well, you
weakling.
Well,
I'm not actually
just...
weakling.
Working, aren't you?
Just
you're riding.
Work myself to death.
Yeah.
But
you,
I enjoy
you work and don't worry.
I don't worry about it. I don't mind going to work. I've been having a little bit of trouble the past couple of months. See, it's an off season. They don't need riders and things like this. And Mr. Yates, well, he wasn't going to pay me to ride. And I got mad about that. He gave me a $2, big deal, $2.
Hold on to fall.
But I'm going to hold on till August. And then I got 2 jobs besides this one out here for riding. And one of
what?
I hold down 3 jobs, just rides. I'm breaking for Golden 40s, and I'm on break for Mary Brook and for Mr. Yates. I got 3 jobs.
Well, now, is that...
Breaking horses.
Is that...
Training them.
That's on top of what you're doing.
Well, see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to quit my job in the morning over here. And then at 6 o'clock, I go to Golden 40. He's got 5 horses for me to break at $100 a week. And then I go to Mary Brook, and I got 4 horses to break. And then I'll be galloping them all year until January, so I send them to the sale.
$100 a week?
$100 a week, and then Mr. Yates, $100 a week. I'll be rich and rolling in money.
Save some of it.
I am, boy, I am.
You mean really?
Hmm?
You mean really? And you're going to start that this week?
No, I started in August. I'm just suffering through right now.
Well, that's not long.
No, just about 2 months.
A little less.
Can't wait. That's going to be good money. And then, see, my mare, you know old Sport?
Oh, yeah.
She's bred to Mr. Pitt over there. That big red thoroughbred that was up there to studs. That's the daddy of the new one. And Sam's already born. She's this big.
Well,
months.
That's pretty neat to have. I mean, that's a pretty good stud fee, and you got that.
Got it for nothing, too.
That's the only way you can make any money with horses.
Well, he's got $1,000 stud service on him. And I didn't pay nothing. I just took my horse over there. Mr. Yates says, we'll keep this one off the books.
Well, Sue, that's marvelous. That's that sounds
good.
Well, I didn't expect anything like that. I thought you were doing mighty well the way it was.
Oh, I love my job to death. I really would have saved it. But, I mean, I'm going to get me another dog.
You're going to have her a dog?
I can't stand just having one dog. I never have had one dog. I've always had two. You know, I have
Brandy.
That
looks like Rob, Faye. Isn't that his little car? Or is that somebody else? Isn't that a little Ramblin'?
I think it is.
Nash, yeah. Nash Ramblin'.
That's Rob.
So I've had more fun.
Oh,
and then when
got.
I was in Miami, boy, I had a wild time. Woo! We had more fun down there. I went swimming with the flamingos at Hialeah Park.
Uh-huh.
God, now I pet those birds. Oh, birds! You're a pretty bird. They said, I bet you won't go swimming over there. I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
And it rained down there for about, it had been raining 2 weeks before we got down there. And the track was this deep in the mud.
So that's where you rode first.
Yeah, here we go across the Hialeah racetrack. We got down in the water and we were swimming. I said, see, I told you, get out of the way, bird. I'm I came back. I said, all right, pay up, boys. They never bet me again. I made more money on that bet than I did on the horses.
On the horses.
I quit that, though, after I won.
Hey, that's spreading out there, but it's not coming this way. We don't, we hardly.
Farm around that farm out there, though. It seems like it goes, everybody gets rain but us.
I know, that's the way we feel here. Everybody gets rain but us.
I tell you, everybody's been begging for it.
Yeah.
Long trip. Loss of
out here. Oh, when we knew about Wendy, she hadn't
she
shown any
growing.
Signs of.
She was growing like a weed, and then all of a sudden she just stopped. She's
you
not
want
much
to
want
yes, Faye, don't ask a question. Ask, bring it.
I really don't. But Danny,
just bring him something to drink.
Come on, baby. Hey, Heed, that's not your mama. You're too little for stuff like that.
Well, you're too little for stuff like that. Yeah, you just came in. Oh, yeah. Oh, my word. Hey, you just like him.
Well, when did you first notice it? How long ago?
Just before Christmas. Right around Christmas time. I noticed she hadn't grown any.
Mm-hmm. You just saw her down there.
She just,
make it all right.
You know, when we left here, when I,
she can run around. It won't hurt anything.
But I had noticed she just hadn't, she didn't seem to get any tired.
Well, she behaves.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Beautiful.
You can just tell her to go do something, she'll go on. And see, she got caught in the barbed wire. She's out there running around. I think the horse is nearsighted, really. And she didn't see that fence, and she looked like somebody just took a razor blade to her. And she just had all the bad breaks, you know? It seems like the more you try to do for her, the worse she gets. And she ran into that barbed wire and cut her neck here. And
her neck?
Just all here, and her shoulder and her leg. This has just been about, what, Dan, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
We just got her healed up. She was open in places like that. It's cut. And I use that hoof flex on them. I've been using this blue lotion and stuff, the vet, the peroxide and blue lotion. It wasn't doing any good. So I put this, hoof flex on like I'd been using before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cleared it right up.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And I just been sick with her. I mean, I get disappointed looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like the more I do for her, the worse she gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Kim, you know, the more money I put into her, and the better I mean, Kim never didn't know what dog food was. That dog ate liver and eggs. She always had eggs, rice, liver, and hamburger meat. That dog didn't eat that food. And it just made me sick when this happened.
I tell you,
And I walked in and she didn't even recognize me. She was
yeah.
sitting there. And her mouth was all full of flour.
Well, what did Dewey think about the...
Oh, he thinks Sam's the greatest. The baby, her name is Sensations Autumn Melody. And her initial is Sam.
Uh-huh.
So we call her Sam. And he came out and he said, now that, I like that horse. His bones are already, you know, solid. Her joints are solid. She's got room to grow. He said, but I don't know what happened to the other one. He says I wanted the other one because she's marked so well. You know, the white face and the white legs. Now, Sam's got all four white feet.
I just made one of your favorite cakes.
And had such a fine disposition.
Wendy. Danny still goes out and plays with Wendy.
Have a happy cake, Danny.
And, I mean, she just hasn't. Now, Sam is different. Sam doesn't want to be messed with. She runs the pack. She's got a nasty disposition and everything else. But, I don't know. Wendy's just so sweet. It seems like everything's happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I took a like to Wendy the very first thing, the first time I saw her.
But I want to get rid of her before I get attached to her.
Yeah.
Because
there's
no money in it.
You ought to.
I lose money each month. Find a buyer for Chubby Buddy. I hate to lose money on Chubby Buddy, but I offered him for sale for $300. You know, everybody comes out and looks at him. $300? I'm gonna pay $300 for him. Give him $100 for him.
Isn't that something?
I said, it'd be a cold day and you know where. Turned around and walked off. And then I said, well, I'll drop it to 200.
Uh-huh. Wasn't dropping a nickel.
But I've got to get rid of him. It costs me approximately, in the past 6 months, it cost me $400 to feed all five of those horses. Last summer. And I'm just feeding them by myself, and I can't do it. And I told her, I said, now, you know, she went in partnership with me, but when I quit my job, she figured, well, you quit yours, I'm going to quit mine, see? So she quit. And she hasn't even bothered to get even a part-time job. And I'm having to foot this whole bill, and I can't do it, especially in this off-season. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just starting to clear out, because I was planning on getting married, but once again, I don't think I will. My horses come first. My mama said, when you find the right one, you'll know. I said, yeah. But I am, you know, and I don't want to have any horses. I don't want to get attached to them, because like I was to everybody. And it's hard when you see somebody, you know, I can tell whether people are going to take care of a horse or whether they're not by watching them walk around my horse.
Mm-hmm.
If they pick up their feet, check their eyes, check their nose, you know, check their legs and things like this, I know that person knows enough about a horse to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see somebody walk out, pat him on the rump, say, oh, yeah, he might run pretty fast. I wouldn't sell him a doorknob.
I wouldn't want to, really.
I mean, I've been using Chubby Buddy over on the farm as a pony horse. See, I ride him and lead a thoroughbred.
Oh.
We get some of them that are so rank back from the track, you can't ride them. You got to pony them because you put a saddle on them and they'll run. And they won't stop till they drop dead. So we have to do them this way. We put a chain in their mouth, you know, run it from here through their mouth, and then hold their head right up to your middle here like this, and then gallop your horse, and then they'll gallop next to him, see. But my Mr. Yates wanted me to do it for nothing.
And yeah.
I said no. You know what he had the nerve to do? One time I almost punched that little man right in the mouth. He came up to me. We have a horse over there by Gallant Man, which is a $10,000 horse. And the old mare, the mare is dying. And she can't give enough milk, and they had to put it on a bottle. Well, he knew my mare had just had a foal. And he knew that, I told it, we were talking about how she had nursed this little foal temporarily while she had a bag, right after... You know, right after we went windy, she still had a bag, and this guy had a little foal and his bottle feeding it, and he wanted to know if he could let her nurse, you know, until she dried up. And I said, well, I didn't mind, you know, and for about a month there, she nursed this little baby, just took
uh-huh.
care of it.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to be talking about it one day, so he comes up to me and he says, I'll tell you what, he says, you take your baby off of your horse and bring it over here to raise this one. I said, and what do you want, a punch in the mouth, boss or no boss? I said, you've got your nerve. I said, what's my baby supposed to do? Oh,
I'd
you
like
can
to...
bottle feed it.
I'm glad I wasn't there when that happened.
What do you want?
And he looked at me, very indignant. I said, I don't care if she's Gallant Man of War, or who she is. But I was so mad, you know. I could have killed him. I was so mad. I was standing there, tears were running down my cheeks. I was so mad. I said, just because you got a thoroughbred, you think it's so much better than my horse. You got your nerve! And I ran to the barn crying. And he was standing there, but Sue, don't get, no, Sue! I just ran off and left him. I was so mad. I'd have hit him if I'd have stayed there. I really would have.
I'm going to put you in the house.
Oh, he's been a problem all day.
He just can't please him.
It's hot out here right after dusk, and he was trying to dig down through this.
My dogs and I ruined. I bought a dozen eggs and hamburger meat, and I found it was cheaper than dog food.
Dozen eggs and hamburger. I just feed this. We just feed this puppy chow.
Well, I had puppy chow with it,
uh-huh.
But I mixed puppy chow and hamburger meat and
uh-huh.
an egg.
Uh-huh.
And you saw how nice
yeah.
he looked.
Yeah. Well, I guess he needs more than puppy chow, because he
as long as well. Now is he cleaning it up?
Yeah.
Well, then don't worry about it. Don't give him a whole lot of milk though. Milk gives him wounds.
That's right.
What is a whole lot? Well, let us show you.
Oh,
huh?
Two cups. Oh well, we just
what?
two cups a day. Oh, gosh, he just gets a drop.
I'm not even thinking. My dog was bigger than mine.
Oh. I don't believe he gets enough milk to hurt him.
Uh-uh. But, you know, you can get that dry, that powdered milk,
mm-hmm.
and it'll work a lot better. It's cheaper and there's not that much fat in it.
Well, what about the evaporated milk? That's what Mr. Brown told us to use.
Evaporated milk?
It just costs more.
It just costs more. Because I use that Thrifty Made.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Non-fat.
Yeah.
Powdered milk.
That's an idea.
You just put it right on their chow, see, and then
yeah.
mix it with a little bit of water, right in with their food, and it's just, you can put it as thick as you want, and that way their stool won't get loose. See, when they drink a lot of milk, their stool just gets running.
Yeah.
And it keeps them from getting loose out.
She'll make a vet before it's over.
Yeah.
She watches the animals. See,
yeah,
I take care
of my animals.
I don't watch them.
You should see my fillies. I don't care too much for the colts. They're just mean. They're pure mean. I don't have any use for a mean horse. I can go up there to that filly barn. I can stand down there where they can't see me, and I'll say, "You girls ready to eat?" And they'll tear those stalls down just about.
I bet they do,
I'll
too.
Walk up there, and I got the fattest fillies. This year's fillies make those colts look like Wendy.
Oh, really?
I'm like, "King, the colts are skinny and rangy. You can't keep weight on unless you keep them up anyway." I told him, "I'm getting tired of Mrs. Stewart coming down and saying those colts look terrible." And I said, "You're blaming it on me because I don't feed them enough." I said, "I have you know I'm feeding those horses 16 quarts of feed a day and they still aren't putting on weight." And I said, "If you'll let me do it my way." He says, "You don't know nothing about horses." I said, "Okay, I don't know nothing." Well, 3 months in a row she came down and saw those horses. She says, "I want something done about it." She says, "Now I go up to that filly barn, and those fillies are not kept up all day." She says, they're out running just like those colts, and they're fat, pretty, and tall. Those fillies up there stand, and guy, they're just turned a year old, and they're this tall. You can't see over some of them.
What?
You know those I told you, Whiskey Sour, the chestnut I told you, and that Winona, the two that were right down the end, I said were my favorite? You can't see over their backs. You can stand just like this, and just look straight ahead, and you can't see over their backs. And they're just huge. And she says, "I can go up there and I can look at those fillies and they're growing, they're sound, they're pretty, and they get the same amount of feed as these down here. I want to know why these aren't looking nice." He says, "Oh, they get out and run and fight all the time. Fillies don't do that." She says, "Well, you think of a way to stop them from running and fighting." And I had told him just a month before that we put them up during the day where they can't fight. We put them out at night and they can't run all that weight off. Let them have all the hay and water they want. No, they're just that way this time of the year. I've had those horses up 3 months. I can brush every one of them. I can tie him up in the stall and he'll stay there. I can pick his feet from one side. Usually when he first starts, you have to stand on this side and then go on that side. But a saddle horse doesn't like for you to get on his right side at all.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them will go crazy when you do it.
But what about a thoroughbred?
Thoroughbred. That's what I meant to say. So you pick them all, their feet from this side. So you stand here, you pick this one, you reach up and pick that one up over there, and then back here, and then back foot. I never heard of that. I know, it's unusual. I really hadn't. I'd pick mine all the way around, you know, like we do out here when we trim them. But the blacksmith, the only time the blacksmith trims, gets on the other side is when they're just wee babies to trim them, or when he's put his shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they trim them all from this side. I mean, the horse will stand there and let you pick that back foot up and cross it over, trim it off.
I never heard of that.
But they don't want you on the other side. They really don't. Isn't that clear?
Now, which ones are they?
Thoroughbreds.
I mean, that you're talking about now. Not the colts.
No,
the
thoroughbreds.
The fillies.
The fillies.
Fillies, colts.
All
thoroughbreds are that way. They're trained for one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's to get out and run their heart out until they drop dead.
Yeah.
No matter how much pain that horse is in, you put a saddle on him.
Well, with the colts, let you handle them the same way?
Yeah, I got to wear the colt. I can go down and do my colts. I've worked them in 3 weeks. I got them that way.
Yeah.
And the fillies, I
found that way. Well, now, are you keeping them up in the daytime now?
Yep.
And that works.
And let them out at night?
Yep.
That's so your idea?
It's my idea, old man. Don't you? He'll take credit for everything I do. That makes me so mad. And she knows that I do it, and she just laughs at him.
She says...
Well, just as long as she knows.
Yeah, and she'll come up there and she'll say, Susie, I want to compliment you on such and such and such and such. And she'll say it right in front of him every time. And then he'll say, now, I went down here and we put these new hay racks in because the other ones didn't work right. And she'll come back. She says, that was a pretty smart idea, Susie. Right in front of him. And he just tells all kinds of stories.
As
he's terrible.
He knows it.
Well, is that the way you've been handling the fillies?
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them up in the daytime?
No, my fillies, I turn them back out. That I've just handled them for so long that I can stand here and I can see one of them start to fight, and I'll say, Lovelink or Wendy or whoever you don't do that. And she'll look at me and they'll walk on off.
Yeah.
All I got to do. And I got one.
And I can believe it, too.
I got one that's real hateful up there. She's just, especially when she, just before she goes in the season, she's mean. Boy, she'll bite anything. And I can stop and say, Wes, don't you do that. She'll look back at me, and I say, get on out of the way from the gate. She'll walk on off.
Well, where are the fillies stay?
You know the barn that you were in up there? That they're up there. We moved the colts down to the big barn, training barn.
Oh,
did you? Where Faye was that day. We had to move them down there because stupid people only put one row of fence, and we got to where the boy horses like the girl horses so much that would jump the fence. Cutting themselves all up and everything else and breeding the fillies. I think I got two of them that's pregnant. Gotta have a vet check.
And
they boys jump the fence and they don't feed them.
What do you have to have? Double fences?
Yeah. They have lanes like that.
Yeah.
About as wide
as
that between all of them.
The lanes hold them like the will cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see?
Well, see, we've got.
I mean, my bull and the one over there never get together and fight.
We have a stud horse. Old Stellar, he's real mean, and they put him up where the other studs were, and he just went crazy. He just wanted to fight all of them. So they gave him a paddock by himself down there, and he's right next to mares that have just had their foals, and when they come in season, he can stand up there, and so we know when the mares are in, because they back up to the fence there, and there's a six-foot lane between them. And he'll never try to go over that fence, but he'll tease those mares, see? And so they know when those mares are in season, and he's just as content. There's that lane there.
That's curious, isn't it?
But you put those two horses where they can touch each other, and he'll go over that fence, no matter how high it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we had a bunch of little colts just jump the fence up there still. And I had one of them get all cut up. Boy, he could hardly walk. His legs just all cut up across his chest and underneath the belly and everything.
If we want to see you ride, when do we come over?
Well, we don't have anything to ride now.
Oh, that's right. Yes, not in the season.
Probably won't be anything really doing now until after September.
Yeah.
Because during breaking season, he doesn't want anybody around the barn because those horses can look up.
Yeah.
A leaf can blow in the way and they'll go crazy.
Yeah.
And half
right.
the time they run faster backwards than they do forward when they're breaking them.
Oh.
You get out in the shed and they go boom.
Have you broken them?
No, but I'm going to learn.
Better go over and take care of it.
Oh, I've broke a lot of horses in my time.
I know it. These
and I've got a good ground man. I told Mr. Yates if he didn't hire the boy back, I wouldn't do it. But this guy helped me in Miami.
You mean you're going to get on a horse that hadn't been got on?
Yeah, but I'm smart. I got them all. I can ride them all now. All the fillies. I won't tell him I'm only going to break fillies anyway. But I can sit on every one of my fillies up there in the barn. They don't do nothing.
She's smart. She's already started it.
I bellied them. I've been bellying them since December. You know, just flopping over them like that. Put my stomach down there and patting them on the other side. I got a couple of the colts I can do that to. So I'll say, I want them two horses and them three fillies. I got them all broke. All I got to do is get on them. I get on them and sit in the stall, you know, just...
What are you going to do about those down at the other places? Well, you'll learn on these.
Yeah, well, I can learn off of these. Because, see, we start breaking 2 weeks before the other people do. But I told the man at both of those farms if they wanted me to ride, I wanted those horses to where you could walk in that stall and they wouldn't be afraid of you. They'd turn around and look at you. I said, if not, you might as well forget it. I can walk into a stall and I say, turn around here, horse. And he'll turn right around and face me. And I can do anything I want to. And I'll tie him up.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Yates says, oh, those thoroughbreds are crazy. You're just a dumb girl. You don't know nothing. He'll say, oh, take care of that horse. I said, oh, Mr. Yates, I don't know how to do it. I'm dumb. And I walk off. It makes him mad, but
I mean, I hate for him, because he'll turn, I'll suggest something. He'll say, no, you can't do it. You know, you can't do that. I'll get one of the boys to do it. And then, we didn't have any help. We just got help this past 2 weeks. We didn't have any help at all. And so he said, oh, Susie, you can't ride that horse. I said, oh, put the saddle on that horse. I said, my word. If I'm going to get killed, Mr. Yates, I'm going to get killed. There's just nothing you can do about it. That's fate. I said, if I can't take the chance, I haven't got too many guts, I'll tell you. I told him when I first started there, it took guts and brains to do that job. And I said, I got both of them. You just point me in the direction, tell me what to do, by golly, and it'll get done. I was riding with his son at first. His son, oh, you do it this way and you do it that way. I said, that's stupid. You can't stop a horse that way. I said, if that horse starts running off of me, I'll figure out some way to stop him if I can't. You know, just drop the rein, he won't stop. I'll figure out something else. I'll run him. Turn his head into the fence. He can't go through the fence. I said, he might hit it a few times, but he ain't going to go through it too much. A couple of times through the fence, and when I yell, whoa, he'll stop. He says, oh, you'll know nothing. But I said, I'll figure out something. I ain't going to let him run away with me. I'll tell you. But, Buddy, he thinks I'm a woman.
Is the boy learning a little bit himself?
Buddy, well, I tell you one thing. Between me and the barn, I have to, Buddy, get away from me. I gotta go. Buddy, don't bother me. Go away. I have more trouble keeping him off than I have trouble riding the horse. I had to take a pitchfork to him before he went to the track. Beat him on his head a few times, and he quit bothering me.
You got two girls out there now?
Yeah, thank goodness. And she's trying to, I thought, she's a vegetable. Anyway, she comes in and she says, oh, I think you two ought to get married. She says, oh, but not to each other. I said, well, thanks, you know. And every time
Does she know anything about horses?
No. She says, oh, I know how to do that. I said, well, go ahead and do it. And then she'll get in there and start dickering around. You hear her say, stand, horse, stand. Now stand. And I said, that horse doesn't know what stand means. She says, well, I'm telling him, now you stand. He turns around, looks at her, and just do their teeth that way, and she'll run out of it all every time.
After you've had
and they
bath.
Know
why
how to do it.
Scratch like that.
They like to be dirty. Do you know that?
I know it.
Dogs love to be dirty.
And I just had just a good bath.
I don't mind just good ordinary dirt. You know, it's just.
Well, he is just so rambunctious.
See, what it is, you get them clean under here,
uh-huh.
And it makes your skin tight. And you know how when you wash your face,
uh-huh.
It soaks a lot of time,
uh-huh.
and it. Pulls tight and it isn't.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is when they're dirty like that. And under their hides, they're all right. You should never wash them more than maybe
how often?
Once every 2 months.
That's what I know.
Well, you do just brush them?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care to be.
You just take your brush or something just so that you can get down to these little skin. And just brush them something with the heat like that. Oh, him knows you do that.
That's what the vet said, not too often.
Just brush it.
Mm-hmm. Just brush
them.
You can keep them cleaner by brushing them than you can by. Because, see, they like that next to their skin.
I washed them with
it.
They soaked today.
It takes, and the dirt keeps the oil in their skin. When you wash it, it takes all the oil out, and it just takes all the natural stuff. And that's, they'll get fleas more if you wash them more. Oh, well, I'm still not going to do that. I can say, yeah, I'm too.
He's 12 foot long.
This whip he's got. And he pops those sticks out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'd go wrap around my leg and break my leg, probably.
Yeah.
I can't get over you, little fart. Since I had that major work done on it, I paid $50 and had it fixed up real nice. Haven't had any more trouble. It'll be mine in 2 months.
What'd they do to it?
They had to grind the valve.
Oh, yeah.
And lift it. Fix it. One of the lifters or something.
Mm-hmm. You got a good mechanic?
He's not over there anymore, but he did a fabulous job on it. It hasn't given me any trouble.
And didn't overcharge you?
No. Well, the people at Pontiac were going to charge me $100 to do that. $150. And he did just $50 on it.
Where was he?
You know, over here at Orange Lake, you know Ed Filer?
It's Ed Fowler's store. Right, the North Marion Market is right up at...
Yeah, I don't know where North Marion Market is.
Well, it's just right across the street from that. And he's got a little garage right there in the corner.
He's not there now.
No, he left, and the new guy has it now. But that guy's just as good. He does all our farm work, see?
Oh, does he?
And he fixed our my truck.
I don't. And he don't have anything straight in, Bobby. They sit here. My son-in-law said the other night, he said, when he talks, please send by our room. He'll talk, he'll say nothing.
What are you?
He's in there watching television.
You know, one time, not long ago, talking to him.
A truckload piled up in a pile. He said it was cold. I couldn't see nothing wrong with it. The only thing I found there was too ripe to ship. You can get all of them you want. They're going to lay there and rot.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind I like to eat them. That's right.
Yeah. If I could pick them out, that's kind I'd pick out. You know what I do? I bring two or three up the house. Roll them out there in the shade, and then I just leave them there. I don't go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somebody comes, you know.
Well, that'll take care of it, I guess. Rest of my mowing down out there. I like a little getting over. Thing was hanging up on my nose. There's something wrong yesterday evening.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to look at it. So I got to get there.
We got it going. Ain't no use putting a new one in there with that wheel like it is, so I'll just order couple of these and for one wheel. Well now, Jim, when did you notice it was hanging up?
I just noticed it yesterday.
So you couldn't prevent that?
Every once in a while going ahead, well that wheel would hang up, see? Throw me sideways, so I could stop, back up, then I go ahead, see?
Yeah.
It'd be all right for a while. Seemed like about the same place I get to, I don't know. What it was a contour of the ground or something, so it'd hang up again.
Yeah. Well,
so yeah. That guy that I bought this off of, he's got one just like this. And I went in and I ordered some of them before. He says, well, what does it act like when it's going? I says, it just don't go, that's all. And when they go, I said, you'll know it.
Yeah.
Says, that's all I can tell you, mister.
Same.
I says, when it gets to where it got no traction, I says, that's the trouble.
Same fella was there that you bought it from?
Yeah, same guy. He bought one himself, see?
Yeah.
I got this sample house here at the Wilson Cuddle.
I bought things in there, but I never bought anything like that.
Yeah, he's got different sizes. He's got some now that's superior to this. They cost a little more money, too.
Uh-huh.
They cost $400-something for them best ones.
Oh, man.
$300.
Oh, man. Man, yeah.
Well, you get a darn push lawnmower, it's any good, it'll cost you $75 to $100. So if you're going to get something you ride, you know you're going to have to pay more for it. Oh,
yeah.
You can buy them for about $170 that you can ride, but then they don't ride long.
Let me tell you, Jim. Now, this sort of thing was fishing off of us after we sold off all of our livestock. Now, you never had trouble with that as long as you're handling mules and horses.
No, hell, all that damn weed grew up around the house. But then have a mowing machine run around a couple of miles in the hall with 10 mules.
With this?
Yeah. And you used, just one of them old blades. Well, we never kept a lawn like this. We went out there with them old saws, and we got about head high. We go out and cut them back before we could see around.
Yeah. You didn't have the grass like this.
Session.
No, we had grass too, but then the weeds got the nice round of grass out.
Yeah. Well, when did we start all this lawn business then? I don't know.
One of my earliest recollections.
I just go up and
order the things, and they get them quicker that way by them doing it. When they come, he calls me on the telephone. I go and pick them up.
Yeah, right on your way to town.
And then when he finds out what they are, half the time he don't have an invoice on them when you go in and pick them up. I said, that's all right. When I find it all.
But this is more trouble to keep up than a pair of mules.
Well, no, you got to feed the damn mules every morning and water them.
Yeah, but how long does that take?
And you got to buy feed for them, too.
You always had feed. You raised a little feed for them, kept it in the crib.
Yeah, I never had to buy none when I had mules.
Get a little pasture this time of year, you don't have to feed them much, do you?
Have to feed them nothing unless you're working them.
Yeah.
I used to run mine in and give them a little dry hay. I was going to work them the next day or two, but throw them in a few ears of corn.
Yeah. Well, now that's less trouble than these gasoline motors.
One thing about this, using it, it don't eat. You don't have to water it. You don't have to put a fence around it.
Well, no, but you already had the fence. And there's plenty of water. You could buy a pair of mules for what you put into this. And then they'd be good for the whole crop, Jim. And this, all this is good for, just your front, just your lawn.
You can get one of these. Little, farm all cubs with a mowing attachment, and you can farm with them too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what a guy needs.
You mean?
A big tractor to come in here and tear it up.
Yeah.
And then you take a little one and run over it. Be on your way.
And it wouldn't break down on you so bad.
Well, they all break down sometimes.
A good hay rake. Had a good team of mares. Had them a hay rake.
Raking hay. They was gentle and all, but you know, they had pep in them. They come from Colorado.
Your mule?
Hey. The mares.
Your mare?
Mares. I was raking hay with them. And the tongue, where it come up, brush stroke them, they run over something, and they jumped, and when they jumped, that darn tongue broke up right back of the brush stroke.
Mm-hmm.
When it dropped on the ground, that scared them, they jumped again, see? And when they jumped that time, that thing run in the ground and broke them off back at the frame. And I was sitting up there, that thing was, every time they jumped, it straighten up, and then when it caught up with them, it was down. See, well, I didn't know. This darn hay rake up over me back here. Now, I didn't know, and there wasn't nothing to guide it. It had run this way, see? And then they'd run that way, see?
Yeah.
And they was taking off. They
yeah.
getting scareder all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what the hell was going to happen. I looked up to see if I thought I could throw myself back over the rake. And about that time, it went down and it pitched me out in front. And that damn rake went over me, and then my claws tore my undershirt off. I scratched my back up. Them little mares was sailing out. Went through a honeysuckle patch and tore loose from the damn rake and run down the road. But that's what I say. Ain't nothing but what gives you trouble, see?
Well,
I didn't know that darn thing was in that shape, but it was rotten. It had decayed a little, you know, dry rot, and it snapped. Well, it looked new. But I had it all painted up my
oh,
thing,
yeah.
and
yeah.
it wasn't old at all. It was about 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, it snapped up to the front there.
Yeah.
Well, now, if it had snapped against the iron there where you had it put in.
It didn't snap there after it snapped up front.
Yeah. And they wasn't wild.
No, they was gentle, but it had that wildness in them. If anything happened, you know, it hadn't been worked long
enough. Oh.
That they were scary. Well, the first time I hauled them, I said, woo, they stopped, see? And then they jumped again, see?
Yeah.
Something scared
yeah.
them. I don't know,
yeah.
nervous,
yeah.
you know.
And you couldn't just talk to them?
Oh, hell, not after they got going.
How old was it?
3 years old, 4 years old.
And you just got them in from, just they just
I got
in?
I got them when I was 3 years old. I'd worked them a little year before that, in that winter. This was on about this time of year.
Well, that ought to gentle them up.
Yeah, they was gentle. You'd catch them anywhere and all. They was regular damn pets.
And you know, they had
but,
that
damn Western in them.
Yeah. Well, you know, at that age, Jim, they still got that baby in them.
Yes.
I think 10 buckets full will be plenty.
10.